Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Chaf Aleph. We begin the brand new perek Baruch Hashem called Shah, the second perek in Pesachim. Today we're learning Lili Nishmas Frida Rosansky, Freidel Bas Shlomo. All the neshamas we've learned for should have an aliyah. And we begin about a third of the way down Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph with the new perek. The perek starts with the Mishnah Kol Shah Shemutur Lechol Machil LeBehema LeChaya UleOfos. This is going to be a little bit of a chazara of some of the concepts this was referred to in the first parak already. It's a wonderful opportunity to chazara over some of the laws of Erev Pesach in terms of when you are allowed to have chametz in your possession and when you are not. So the Mishnah tells us that all hours, kol shah, specifically this is talking about the fifth hour, in our idealized day, going from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., this would be from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m., but we'll wait till we get to the Gemara to define this. So it says, Kol Shah Shemut Lecha, while you're allowed to eat, in other words, when you can eat chametz still, so you are still allowed, Ma'achol Lebehema Lechaya Ulofus. You're still allowed to go and give food to your animals. These include the domesticated animals known as the behemos, and the non-domesticated animals known as the chayos, and the ofos, and also to birds. The Gemara will explain, why do you need to tell me all of this? And the Gemara will explain exactly what it means that when you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to give to your animals. Isn't that obvious? And Rashi says, we will discuss this all in the Gemara, Mitzvah Shem, very soon. At the same time, umutul anachwi, you can also give it to anachwi. Every one of these statements, there'll be a chiddush involved. The Gemara will tell us what the chiddush is. Of course, if you give it to yourself, why can't you go and give it to your animals, and why can't you go and sell it to a nachwi during this time? And then it tells us a mutar panoso. Of course, if you're allowed to eat it and give it to your animals, of course you're mutar in hanoah. So each of these is a chiddush that the Gemara will explain. Avers mano. However, after that time has passed, when it's not kol shah shemutar lechol, so then also panoso, you're also not allowed to get hanoah from it as well as not eat it. V'lo yasik botano v'chirayim, and you're not even allowed to go and use it as firewood and go heat up your ovens, different types of ovens. We learned the Gemara in Shabbos, a taner and a kirayim. A taner is a hotter oven than a kirayim. It only has room for one pot on the top. It's more of an enclosed, hotter type of an oven. A kirayim has two spots on the top to put on utensils to cook. And again, different types of oven. The bottom line is you're not allowed to go and heat up your oven with this chametz, this osir and hanoah. And the Gemara will explain why would you have thought that you can. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda says, when you're getting rid of your chametz, you have to do sreifa. Ein bir chametz el sreifa. You must go and destroy your chametz via sreifa. You can't just flush it down the toilet. You can't throw it into the yam. As opposed to the opinion of the Chacham Omer, now the gears that we have is af meforer. In addition to burning it, you're also allowed to be mefarer it. Mefarer it means to make it into crumbs. And Bezore LeRuach, some say, and you must also throw it into the Ruach, or others just say, or, the Vav here means or, Zore LeRuach, or you could just throw it into the wind and let the wind blow it away, and it'll become Hefker and gone, or, oh, Matul Hayam, or you can throw it into the Yam, throw it into the ocean, to a river, a lake, or something like that. That's the Girsa that we have. On the side, it's brought down that the Rif and the Rosh don't have the word Af Miforer, and that seems to imply that you're actually not allowed to do sreifa. The beer cannot be sreifa, because they say, according to the gears of the Rif and the Rosh, that you delete the word af, so it's just mefarer. The only way to do beer chametz is to go and break it up into little pieces, or throw it into the wind, or throw it into the ocean, or throw it into some body of water. Now, it says on the side, go look in the Magen Avraham in the beginning of Simen Tov Mem Hey. The Magen Avraham there explains that this is the reason why you might have thought that sreifa is no good, that why you delete the word af, is because when you have sreifa, you could still potentially get hanoah from the ashes afterwards. And we have in regards to certain types of kachim that have to be buried, so you're not allowed to do sreifa on them, because you could still possibly get hanoah from the aforon, from their afer, from the ashes afterwards. And that's what the Magen Avraham says, is the havamin here to say, if you don't have the gears of af, so it means that you cannot actually do sreifa according to this, because you might get hanoah from the ashes. In any event, we'll see this more in the Gemara, and let's start the Gemara right now. It says, Kol Shah Shemut Lecho Maichol. The Mishnah started off with this somewhat strange terminology that all the time that you're mutter to eat chametz, you're allowed to also go and feed it to your animals. Now, that implies, Hol Kol She'eino Mutter Lecho, the implication of that is any hour that you're not allowed to eat chametz, Eino Maichol, you're not allowed to go and give it to your animals. Now, remember back from the first parak, and here we're going to have again a discussion, Lema Masnisim the Lo Kor Yehuda. This therefore seems not to be in accord with the opinion of Rav Yehuda. We had a famous machlokas between Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rabban Gamliel, which we're now going to remind ourselves about. Right now we're saying that if it's at a time that you can eat, you can also feed your animals, but it's a time, the implication being that you can't eat, you can't feed your animals, let us say that this doesn't accord with the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Why? Because the Rav Yehuda, if you remember back, Rav Yehuda's opinion was, he said, Ha'ika chamesh de'ena ochel. Rav Yehuda said that you're only allowed to eat chametz up to and including the fourth hour. But in the fifth hour, Rav Yehuda said that you can no longer eat chametz. Ha'ika chamesh de'ena ochel. And yet, he says you're allowed to be meichel. You are allowed to go and be meichel chametz to your animal. That's not, because we learned back in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph, where it said, Rav Meir Omer, Rav Meir's opinion was, Ochlin kol chamesh, you're allowed to go and eat during the entire fifth hour. There's no even issur d'rabbanan to eat in the fifth hour, again, in our idealized day, that's from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And only in the sixth hour, from 11 a.m. to 12 a.m., does the issur d'rabbanan kick in, the sarfim et chilashesh. So Rav Meir says, there is no in-between period of time. You can eat all the way up until the end of the fifth hour, which is 11 a.m., and then in the sixth hour, 11 a.m. to noon, you have to go burn your chametz. That was the opinion of Rav Meir. So Rav Meir seems to fit in very well to this language of the Mishnah, although we'll say in a second he doesn't fit in either. But certainly, at the time that you can eat, you're allowed to give it to your animals. At the time that you can't eat, you can't give it to your animals. That would be seemingly like Rav Meir, but not like Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda, Omer, no, there's like a limbo hour in between. He says you can eat ochlin kol arba, you can eat up until the end of the fourth hour, until 9 to 10 a.m. is the last time that you can eat chametz. Then in the fifth hour, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., the total kol chametz, you're not allowed to eat it, but you're allowed to give it to your animals. So this would seem to contradict our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said when you can eat, you can give it to your animals. When you can't eat, you can't give it to your animals, but according to Rav Yehuda, even though you can't eat, you can still give it to your animals. So our Mishnah seems to be not like Lema Mastis in the local Rav Yehuda. The Sarfim Tchilashesh, and everybody's in agreement, all three opinions are in agreement that Midi Rabbanan, you can't have chametz in your possession in the sixth hour from 11 a.m. to noon, and you have to go and burn it. So therefore, let us say, Leimu Masnis in the Lok Rav Yehuda. So Gemara says, okay, fine. Our Mishnah is certainly not in accord with Rav Yehuda, but you're thinking it's so good with Rav Meir? It's also not good with Rav Meir. Velamai Rav Meir, you can tell me if our Mishnah is not Rav Yehuda, it must be Rav Meir. It's a very funny terminology. Why did it say, hi, kol shor shemutter lechol meichel? Instead, it should have said, kol shor sheochel meichel miboyele. It's a very strange language. It says, every time that you're allowed to eat chametz, then you're allowed to go and give it to your animals. And when you're not mutter to eat chametz, it should have just said, when you can eat, you can give it to your animals. If you can't eat, you can't give it to your animals. What's this mutter lechol? It should have said, all hours that you can eat. Instead of saying, mutter lechol, it just should have said, kol shosh ochel, every hour that you can eat. So Gemara reminds us that there's a third Tana. So Amar Rabba Barul, you're right. Our Mishnah doesn't seem to be in accord with either Rav Meir or Yehuda, but it's in accord with the third Tana that we had back on Daf Yud Aleph. Amar Rabba Barula, Masnisin Rabban Gamlieli, our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. And what was that opinion? Did not. Because we learned in that Mishnah, Rabban Gamliel Omer, Chulin necholin kolarba. Chulin is allowed to be eaten during the fourth hour up until 10 a.m., but not beyond the fourth hour. He holds Rabbi Gamliel, like Rabbi Yehuda, in that chulin cannot be eaten, obit you get hanor. But why? Now the language of Mishnah comes in. Truma, kol chamesh, truma is different. You're not allowed to go and destroy truma. Shmores trumosai. You have to go and protect a Kaddish Baruch Hu's truma. And therefore, you have never a permission to go and destroy truma unless it's truma that is tmeya, and then you're allowed to burn it. But otherwise, truma, even during the fifth hour, is allowed to be eaten, even though it's chametz. But you still, everybody agrees, sarfim is chilashesh. You have to get rid of it, midi rabbanan. Everything has to be burnt at the start of the sixth hour. And therefore, v'hochikom, this is what our Mishnah is saying when it has this funny language, kol shor shemutter. It means, as Rashi points out, kol shor shemutter lecho kohen betruma. During the fifth hour, while there are some people that are mutter lecho, then you, Yisrael, ma'achil chulin lebehem lechaylovas, then you're still allowed to go and get hanor from the chametz that you have, even though it's not truma. But you can't eat it. You're only allowed to eat truma in the fifth hour. But since some people can eat truma in the fifth hour, that's chametz, kol shor shemutter lecho, while people are still able, under certain circumstances, like kohanim, eating chametz truma, that it's tahora, so therefore you are allowed to go and still get hanor from your chulin chametz and give it to your animals. Machul chulin lebehema lechaya ulofos. So our Mishnah is in accord with Rabban Gamliel, albeit it doesn't seem to fit with either the words of Rav Meir or Rav Yehuda. Now the Gemara says, why did you have to tell me lebehema lechayo leofos? I got it. Give it to animals. Just tell me one. Lama lemis lebehema, lama lemis lechayo. Why do you have to tell me the different types of animals? In the Gehosher animals, you have the goats, the sheep, and the cows. Those are the behemos. And you have the, quote, wilder, non-domesticated animals that are like the deer, the antelope, the ibex, and things like that. And Rashi says examples of a chaya here that we might be talking about would be a chulda, a nemiya, a chatul. A chulda is a weasel, a nemiya is like a leopard or some other small carnivorous animal, and a chatul is a cat. And we'll see that you're allowed, the Mishnah tells us, to go feed these to your both domesticated animals like your cows and your sheep, and you're also allowed to give it to a weasel or to a cat. So the Gemara says, Tzricha, why do you need to tell me both of them? There's a reason, because if I had only told you one, you would have a question that the other one's not permissible. Why is that? The Tana Behema, if you only told me that you're allowed to give your chametz to a behema and not mention that you can give it also to a chaya, you know what I would have said? I would have said, a behema's different. The Mesharya Chazileh. Behemoths don't go and hide their food. Rashi says, she'ein darkun lahatsnia. They don't go and hide food. So if you put food into their cage or you put food into their pen, so they're going to go and eat it. And if you don't eat it, you'll see it, and you can be mevatelet. The Mishaya Chazile, if they leave any food behind, you'll be able to see it, and you can be mevatelet. Avachaya, but if you give it, Rashi says, to your chuld or your nemi or your chotul, darkun lahatsnia, they go and hide it. The Mishaya, if they leave over any of the food, they go and put it away for a rainy day. They hide it in some nook or cranny someplace. And therefore, you're not going to see it, and you're not going to be mevatelet. So therefore, I would have said, Emelot, you can't go give food to a chaya, because they not eat all the food. And it's going to hide it someplace, and you're going to forget about it, and you'll be over having chametz in your possession on Pesach. Because they don't finish it off, and kometzanolet, and they hide it. So therefore, tell me just chaya, viton a chaya. Wouldn't they own behema? No. If you just told me chaya, I'd also have a problem. Mishum de'i de mishaya miyis mitzana. Because even if they do leave over some chametz, they hide it someplace. And therefore, as Rashi says, in this situation, you're not going to be over. You see the gerus on the side, and the Masoros HaShatz tells us, de'i de over b'bal yimotzi, while you're over having chametz in your possession, b'bal yiroya lo over. You're not going to be over at least the Bayirah part because you're not going to see it because it's hidden away. So that's why I might have said you can only give it to a Chai Abel Behema, but a Behema, because Zimnin the Mishai, if it doesn't finish it all off, it's going to leave it there below Masaka Daitib. But you're going to say, oh, I threw away all my chametz into the pen, into the corral, into the cage, and it's all going to be gone. You're going to come back later on, and you're going to see it, and the chametz is still there, and you weren't mevatel it. Below Masaka Daitib, and you're not going to have it in mind because you can say, listen, I was mevatel all my chametz, but I didn't expect there to be any chametz there. I didn't have in mind to be mevatel it. The Koy Alei, and the person's going to be over by Yerah, by Yimotzeh. Therefore, I might have said, if you only told me Chaya, it doesn't include Behema, Emelo, Tzricha. That's why it's specifically mentioned, both you can feed it to your Chaya, and you can feed it to your Behema. Lebehema, Ulechaya. No, so okay, once I know that, Laofos, Lomali, so why do you have to tell me the birds? Why do you have to tell me Lebehema, Lechaya, Ulofos? What chiddush am I knowing by birds? So Gemara says, no, it's just already. I did the Tana Behema v'chayah, since you mentioned Behema v'chayah, so it also throws in Tana Nami Ofos, so it mentions birds as well. No real chiddush by telling me you can go feed it to your birds. Then we said in the Mishnah, Umochul Nachri, you're allowed to go and sell it to a Nachri. Again, the Gemara says, Pshita, obviously, if you go eat it yourself or feed it to your animals, so why wouldn't you be allowed to go sell it to a Nachri? So the Gemara says, no, not so pshita. The Gemara says, lafuke mihaitana. There is an opinion, which we're going to learn about right now, in the following Braisa, that is problematic in selling it to a Goy. So you might have thought that our Mishnah holds like this opinion, which we'll see is the opinion of Beis Shammai, and therefore comes to teach us, no, that we don't pass it like that. The Tanya, because we learn in the Braisa, Beis Shammai Yomrim, lo yimkor odum chametz l'nachri, you're not allowed to sell your chametz to a Nachri, unless Elim Kane Yodeyabo Sheyichle Kodem Pesach. Unless you know for sure that he's going to eat it up before Pesach. You have a loaf of bread, you want to give it to your next door neighbor. You say, listen, I'm happy to give you my loaf of bread, I'm happy to sell you my loaf of bread, but you got to eat it before the start of Chatzos on Erev Pesach. Because I'm not allowed to have my chametz, even if it's not in my possession, in your possession, according to Beis Shammai. And Basil disagrees. That's what we call Pasul like Basil. Basil Omrim, no. Kol Shoshim Mutul Echol Mutul Limkar. As long, our Mishnah is the opinion of Basil, as long as you're allowed to go and eat it, or as we said, as long as Rabbi Gamliel opinion is, as long as somebody's allowed to eat it, at least even then, in the fifth hour, you're allowed to go sell your chametz to a nachri, you're allowed to go and give it to your animals. So this opinion in our Mishnah that says, mochro l'nachri, is coming to teach us that the lach over here is like Beis Hillel, and not like this opinion of Beis Shammai. We turn to the Amud Beis, and now we have a machlokas Rashi Tosfos how to understand this next line. Rav Yehuda ben Maaseir Omer, Kutach is a strange dish. Rav Yehuda tells us that this kutach, which Rashi tells us and reminds us, is nosen bo pirure lechem, they put in crumbs of bread, but also mishum chametz, and therefore this kutach, which was some sort of a dish that involved spoiled milk and other ingredients, and was a favorite Babylonian dish, which the people from Eretz Yisrael said that this kutach is absolutely not eatable, it's horrible, but in any event, this kutach has chametz inside of it. So Rav Yehuda Maaseir tells us that this kutach, or the kolmine kutach, not only the regular Babylonian kutach, but any type of kutach which has, again, chametz inside of it, and it lasts for a while. It's like a dip. As Rashi explains, Rav Yehuda ben Maaseir holds like Beis Shammai and says that it's your chametz. So you're not allowed to have in your possession chametz, according to Beis Shammai, that when it goes to a guy, the guy's going to have it for Pesach. And kutach, by definition, you keep around for a long time. So this kutach, any type of this kutach, osulim ko shloshim yom kodom Pesach. You're not allowed to go sell it to a guy 30 days for Pesach. That's the time we've already learned previously. Shloshim yom, lefnei chag, sholim v'dorishin. You have in mind, so to say, you're starting to think of Pesach. And at that point in time, the chametz becomes significant that it must be destroyed. It must be gotten rid of. And even if you give it to a guy, the guy has to eat it up. And since this dip is going to last for a long period of time, you can't go and give it or sell it to a guy in the 30 days before Pesach. That's the way Rashi understands this, that Rav Yehuda ben Maaseir is coming along to be informing us an additional stringency within the opinion of Beis Shammai. Tosfos understands in the exact opposite. Tosfos says, in the name of the Ri, in the name of the Rabbeinu Tam, that Rav Yehuda ben Maaseir is also Beis Hillel. He's going according to the opinion of Beis Hillel. Under normal circumstances, you can go to your heart's content and sell all your chametz to a non-Jewish person. No problem. And if he keeps it in his house, it's his bread. No problem on Pesach. The one exception to the rule is this kutach, because kutach is known as, well, that's Yankul's kutach. That's going to be specifically referred to as the Jew's kutach. And people are going to suspect and say, hey, what's he doing with that kutach? Ah, Yankul must have sold it to him on Pesach. And therefore, in this special, and only this special situation, also Rav Yehuda ben Maaseir, limkor kutach l'nochri. Only by the kutach can you not sell it to a nochri. But he holds like Beis Hillel that all the rest of the chametz can in fact be sold to a nochri. So you have a fundamental difference in understanding here between Rashi and Tosfos what Rav Yehuda ben Maaseir is coming to add. Either he's just giving us another example, according to Beis Shammai, that how far you have to go to make sure that your chametz is not around during Pesach, even if it's owned by the guy, and according to the understanding of Tosfos, it's just an additional small diuk within the opinion of Beis Hillel, that kutach is the exception to the rule. Then we quote the Mishnah, where it says, "Umutu banor," and likewise, you'll have to get anor from the chametz. The Gemara says, "Pshita," of course you'll have to get anor from the chametz. Rashi explains, "Do amis meichel," if you're allowed to eat it, so then, of course, you can go and sell it. So why would you think not? Sumer says, not so pshita. Lo, tzricha. You need it for the following reason. What about the opinion that says, shecharocho kodem zmano? If you go and burn it, if you go and singe it before the time that it's aser, in other words, in the time that our Mishnah said, during the fifth hour, when you're not allowed to eat it, but you're still allowed to get hanor from it. So if you go and singe it in that time, Rashi explains, when you do this charocho, what you're basically doing is making it kagon shecharocho ba'or yofa. You put it in a good fire, kodem zmano, during this fifth hour, when it's still permissible for you to get hanor from it. And in this situation, the singeing it, batel taimo umariso. It changes its taste, it gets rid of its taste because you're singeing it, it's blackening it, and it changes its appearance. And therefore, Rashi says to us that this is not considered chametz. The Kamash Malon, so the Chiddush of our Mishnah is if Charocho Kodem Zmano, Kamash Malon Kedir Rava. This holds like the opinion of Rava, our Mishnah. The Amar Rava says, Charocho Kodem Zmano, Mutter Behanor that you've essentially removed this from being in the status of chametz by changing its taste and changing its appearance. It no longer has the status of being chametz, and therefore you're allowed to do this in the fifth hour, and then and you'd actually be allowed to get hanor from it after the sixth hour has started. Even though it's also to have chametz in possession, this, according to Rashi, no longer is considered chametz. Tells a little bit stronger. Tosa in the Dibur Maskel Charocho tells us, Kagon shenifsa melecho lekelef. This burning it, this singeing it, has made it no longer roy to be eaten by a dog. If it's no longer roy to be eaten by a dog, then it's not considered having chametz in your possession. He seems to suggest that Rashi is telling us that if it's just spoiled a little bit, just singed a little bit, that would be dumya de pas sheifsha. That would be like the bread that's spoiled, which we learned about in Daf Tezvav, and that is a problem. You're not allowed to have that in your possession. So, again, a difference over here between Rashi and Tosus in terms of how to understand this mutur b'hano. Then the Mishnah continues being quoted, avar zmano also b'hanoso, but once the zman is over, so then it's also to have a no. Now, the gersa that we have also here is pshita. Rashi says, we're not goris the words pshita over here, because there is an opinion that we'll learn about from Rav Yossi Aglili that says, the share b'hano kol shiva, that you're allowed to get a no from chametz on Pesach. A very strange shita. We don't paskel like that. But since there is this shita, when you're telling me the Mishnah, Ovis Manu, also Banoso, don't say it's pshita that that's the law. No, because Rav Yosef really disagrees. So therefore, we have to delete the word pshita. In any event, there's still a chiddush over here, even if it's not the telling us that we don't paskel like Rav Yosef Lili. If that's not the purpose, there's still another purpose. Ovis Manu, also Banoso, lo, tzricha, we need it for the following. Lushos the Rabbanon. This is telling me, it's still a chiddush over here in the following way. Rav Gidl, Rav Chiya bar Yosef, Rav Yochanan. Rav Gidl said, in the name of Rav Chiya bar Yosef, he said, in the name of Rav Yochanan, HaMekadesh Mishay Shos Lamala. If somebody's Mekadesh, a woman, with money, it has to be a Shava Pruta. That's how we paskin. So the woman is Mekudeshes. So on a Doraisa level, what is the status of Chametz in the sixth hour, from 11 to 12? We just said that it's Mutter Midoraisa, it's only a Din Derabanan. Everybody, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Gamliel, all hold that in the sixth hour, you have to do Sreifa. It's a Lav Midorabanan to have in your possession. But that means on a Doraisa level, it is in your possession. So Rav Gidl, Amar Rav Chiya, Amar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan says, if a woman is bekudeshes hamikadesh misheisha shos lamala. If you go and try to marry off a woman with this chametz in the sixth hour, and even if you're using something that's very difficult to become chametz, afilu bechite kordinaisa. We'd explained previously these are very hard kernels, and even if they got mixed with water, it's unlikely that they're going to turn into chametz. So even this type of a situation where there's a suffix over here, is it really chametz or not? Dechite kordinaisa ein choshesh l'kedushin. If a man, not much of a romantic, he gave a woman this chite kordinais and said, with this chite kordinais, will you become my wife? Harat mekudeshesli, bechite kordinaisa. And she says, yes, the woman is not mekudeshes. Not even a cheshash, that on the raisa level she's mekudeshes. Ain't choshishin likidushin. That's what the chiddush of the Mishnah is, that over zmano, when it, in the sixth hour, it's no longer in the fifth hour, now in the sixth hour, then you aren't considered the owner of your chametz, and this has so much of an impact that even on a derais level, you would be Mekadesh a woman if you gave her such chametz, and that's based upon the principle that everybody is Mekadesh a woman only with money that you own. Called the Mekadesh, Adaita the Rabbanon Mekadesh, and the Rabbanon have the right to say, Hefker based in Hefker, and that this isn't anything, it's not worth anything. Everybody agrees, if you're to be Mekadesh a woman with something that has zero halachic status, so then it's not there. We say by a lulav, that is, let's say a lulav of Avodah Zarah, it's michse shiura, the shear is not there. It's cut off because it's also to have this. It has zero value. So therefore, even though it's a perfectly long lulav, and it has the shear physically, it doesn't have the shear halachically. So to over here, this chametz that you will mekadesh this woman with in the sixth hour is not worth the shava pruta, hefker based in hefker, and since a person is only mekadesh, adai to the rabbanon, and the rabbanon say that this has zero value, therefore it is considered as if it has zero value. Then the Mishnah told us, even this chametz can't be used to light up as firewood your ovens. Where says here, pshita again. Of course you can. You're not allowed to get hanah from it. And firing up your oven, heating up your oven, is a method of hanah. So why would you think that you're allowed to get hanah from chametz burning it in your oven and cooking something with it? The Gemara says, no tzricha. Again, there is a chiddush over here. We need to tell us this. L'Rav Yehuda. This is according to the Tana Rav Yehuda, the Amar. Ein bi yochametz el sreifa. In the end of the Mishnah, we said that the Tana Rav Yehuda says that the only way you're allowed to go get rid of chametz is via sreifa. In the first parak, we had learned that he's only talking about the sixth hour. Everybody was masking. He said, the Kuli Alma, once chametz is also midaraisa, get rid of it any way you can. You know, if you see a piece of chametz and you got to get rid of it on Pesach, so you can throw it away, you can toss it away, you can destroy it in any way other than just burning it. But in the sixth hour, when it's becoming awesome in the Rabbanan, so Rav Yehuda says you must go and burn it then. Ein bir chametz el sreifa. So therefore, the chiddush over here is that you're not allowed to be yasik botana b'shirayim is according to Rav Yehuda. Because I might have said, so could I take a minach, since Rav Yehuda says I must burn it, hold on, Rav Yehuda, mitzvaso b'sreifa, I specifically must burn it, so I might have thought, bahadi the kosarfle, while I'm going and burning it. By the way, I can go cook myself a cookie. Lisani minei, I'm allowed to get benefit from it because I'm doing the mitzvah of sreifa, so maybe I can get hanor from this sreifa, kamash v'lad. No, the chiddush of a mishnah is, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, says you must do sreifa for bir chametz. Even Rabbi Yehuda says lo yasik botana v'kirayim. You're not allowed to get any hanor from it. Now the Gemara tells us, Amar Chizkiya tells us, minayin l'chametz b'pesach shasu b'hanor. As I pointed out, there is an opinion of Yosef Aglili that says the shari b'hanor kol shiva. So everybody but Yosef Aglili holds that you're not allowed to get hanor from chametz b'pesach, and that's of course the halacha. But how do we know this? Chizkiya asks, Minayin, how do we know that chametz is also on Pesach v'hanor? So he brings down the pasuk, Shenemar, lo yeyochel chametz. A person is not allowed to go and eat chametz. Now it uses the lashon lo yeyochel. Rashi specifically points out, mi dekarina lo yeyochel. That's a strange lashon. It could have just said, don't eat, lo yochel. Mashma, from the extra way that we pronounce it, lo yeyochel, it means lo yeybo heter, you're not allowed to get any heter, any permissible usage of the chametz that you might forget. Hanevi lidei shum achila, that will give you any achila, which includes stam hanos lidei achila heim bol shalokeach bedomim dover maichol, that you're not allowed to get any benefit from, because if you sell this, if you use it in some way, you get money from it. Then from that money, you'll buy yourself something. You're therefore getting hanor from the chametz. That's a type of achila, and that's not allowed. So therefore, Chizkiya asks, it's from the language lo yechel instead of lo yochal, which means lo yehebo heter achila. There should be no food benefit that you get from this chametz, even if you're not eating it directly, but even getting money for it and then buying food with it, that's over the issur of lo yechel chametz. Where it says, therefore, taima, based upon what Chizkiya said, anytime the kasa rechmona lo yechel chametz, it means that you're not allowed to get anor. Halo kasav lo yechel. If it hadn't written lo yechel, but it had written lo yochal, that would have meant tavamina isra chila mashma. I'm not allowed to eat it. However, isra anor lo mashma. But unless it uses the language lo yechel, if it had used lo yochal, it would mean I can't eat it, but I'm allowed to get anor from it. That's what Chizkiya is telling us. But that goes against what Rabbi Yavo told us. So Chizkiya is arguing with Rabbi Yavo. They're both Amoraim, no problem. Opliga the Rabbi Yavo. This argues with what Rabbi Yavo said. Tell me, Rabbi Yavo said, Komakum Shenemar, wherever the Torah uses the language, not only lo yeyochel, but even Shenemar, lo yochal, or it says lo sochal, or lo sochlu, when it uses any language of you shouldn't eat in any way, shape, or form, singular, plural, Echad is rachila, the echad is hanor mashma. It means that you're not allowed to eat it, but you're also not allowed to get hanor from it. Unless the Torah tells us that it's not true. Achi parit luchat kosov, kideru sheparit luchat benvela. Unless it specifies, no, this specific usage of do not eat it excludes only eating, but doesn't exclude hanor. For example, like it says by nevela, which we'll see in a moment. And therefore, Rabbi Yavo argues with Chizkiya. Chizkiya says, only lo yeyochel implies an isra hanor. Lo yochal only implies you can't eat it, but allows hanor. As opposed to Rabbi Yavo says, no, any words that use, you're not allowed to eat it, also mean you're not allowed to get hanor from it, unless the Torah specifically says that rule doesn't apply, such as it does by nevela. Now, where does it say by nevela? The Tanya. We learn in the Braisa, the pasuk tells us, lo sochlu kol nevela, you're not allowed to eat nevela. So, according to what Rabbi Yavo just said, that should mean that you're not allowed to get hanor from it as well. So when it says, lo sochlu kol nevela, That would mean, if I'd have nothing further, I'm not allowed to get hanah from it. But here, the pasuk is mefarish, a peret lecha b'nevela, that you're allowed to get hanah from it. Because, while you're not allowed to eat a nevela, lo sochel kol nevela, but it tells us, like ger asher b'sharechot et nenu, you are allowed to give it to the ger toshav, the righteous, gentle, the person who's the Noahide, who's Mekayim, the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's a ger toshav, you can give it to the ger toshav, the ger asher b'sharecha, you can give it to nena, and he's allowed to eat it, or alternatively, or you can sell it to a non-Jewish person, to an Akum. Now, the Ger Toshav is also a non-Jewish person, but he's Makai and his Zayim Mitzvah Zayin Noach, as opposed to an Akri, who's an Oved Avodah Zarah, whatever he may be, he's not a Ger Toshav, so you're allowed to sell it to him as well. So the Pasuk points out, you can give it to the Ger Toshav, which we'll discuss in a moment, or you can sell it to the Nachri. So here, the Torah, the Kosev, is Mefarit Lecha, that the general Isser of Isser Hanah, when it says Lo Sochlo, according to Rabbi Avo, doesn't apply over here. Now, what does the Pasuk tell us when it says that you're allowed to give it to the Ger Toshav, Titnano, or you're allowed to sell it, Mochel and Ochri? So, Enli Elel Ger B'Nesina. The Pasuk seems to imply that only to the Ger Toshav am I allowed to give it B'Nesina, and Ulin Ochri, I'm allowed to do Mechira. How do we know the opposite is true as well? Leger the Mechira, how do I know that I could actually, if I wanted to, not only give it to the Ger Toshav, but I could sell it to the Ger Toshav? Leger b'mechira minayin. So you break up the pasuk in the following way, Talmud Lomar. That's why the pasuk was written in the following fashion. Lager asher b'sharecho titnana va'achola omachar. Period. You read the words omachar going back on the Ger Toshav. So pasuk is basically telling us, to the Ger Toshav, you can either titnana omachar. You can do either of the two. So when you chop up the pasuk in this way, it tells me that not only nesina to the Ger Toshav, but even mechira, and vice versa. How do we know lenochri b'nesina minayin? That while the pasuk told me you can machar lenochri, how do we know nesina is also acceptable to the nochri? Tamar lomar, break up the pasuk in this way. The pasuk says titnana v'achala o machar lenochri. Break up the pasuk in this way, which implies Nimtzis Omer, that you're allowed to go, according to the Tanakhama, which we'll see is Divrei Reb Meir, Echad Ger V'Yach Nochri, whether you're dealing with a Ger Toshav, or whether you're dealing with a Nochri, Bein Mechira, Bein Nesina, whether you're selling it or giving it to him, you're allowed to do it to both. Divrei Reb Meir. So we'll obviously have to ask, why did the Pasuk, according to Reb Meir, break it up the way that it did, seeming to tell us that you give it to the Ger Toshav as a present, and you sell it to the Nochri. We'll explain that in a moment. This is the opinion of Meir, that there's no difference. Both the Ger Toshav and the Nachri, you can give it to either of them or sell it to either of them. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, no, Devarim Kisavim, the Pasuk was very specific. Don't chop up the Pasuk the way you just did. In fact, you're only allowed to give it Leger B'Nesina, and you're only allowed to give it L'Nachri B'Mechira. You must sell it to the Nachri. You can't give it to the Nachri. And if you're giving it to the Ger Toshav, you got to give it to him as a gift. You can't go and sell it to him. Now, my time with Rav Yehuda. Why does Rav Yehuda say that you only can give it to the Ger Toshav as a gift, and you can only sell it to the Nachri? Gemara says, "Isok daitach kidyama Rav Meir." Because if you want to tell me the Rav Meir is right, that you can actually give it or sell it to the Ger Toshav, give it or sell it to the Nachri, then why did the pasuk say the words that it did? Lichtav Rachmana, you could have just said very simply, "La ger asher b'sharecha titnana v'achol omachar." It should have actually left out anything about the Nachri. Oh, Lomali. Why did it have to say the word, oh? It should have just said, Lager asher b'sharecho titneno v'achola u'mochor. What does the word, oh, mochor l'nochri come? Obviously, Shema Minot, Lidvarim Kisavim, to teach us, the O is separating the first clause from the second clause. And according to Yehuda, the first clause tells me you can only give it to a Ger Toshav, and the second clause tells me you can only sell it to a Nachri. That's why Rav Yehuda says, that's my shita. Shema minot, ledvarim kisavim. You have to learn it exactly the way the pasuk sounds. No, this is a very good kasha on Rav Meir. No, what does Rav Meir say to this? Rav Meir, he says, you need the word oh to tell me a precedence here, a hierarchy. Lahakdim nesina deger, lemchina denochri. The pasuk, as I darshan did, tells me you can give to a Ger Toshav or sell to a Ger Toshav. The pasuk, as I darshan, tells me you can give it to a Nachri or sell it to a Nachri. Then why did the pasuk add the word O? Going to a Meir to tell me, when you have a choice of giving it to a Ger Toshav or selling it to a Nachri, you should go and give it to the Ger Toshav first, rather than sell it to the Nachri. So it tells me the hierarchy, the precedence, which one comes first. But the pasuk tells me, the bottom line, the way I darshan it, if you want, you can give it or sell it to a ger toshav, you can give it or sell it to a nachri. So Rav Meir says, I got no problem with the words oh. The word oh is essential to tell me the order, the hierarchy, which one comes first. No, that's a very good point that Rav Meir is making. How does Rav Yehuda know this? Rav Yehuda, how does he know that you should ideally give it to the ger toshav with a matana rather than sell it to the nachri? So he says, holo tzarech kra. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that. Why? It's a svara. What's the svara? What's the logic? Kivan the ger ato mitzvah lachiyoso. We have a mitzvah to take care of the ger toshav. If you have a poor ger toshav amongst you, you have to take care of him. The nachri, however, a nachri, an ovid of an azara, yata mitzvah lachiyoso. You have no obligation to go and give him money. You have no obligation to take care of him. So therefore, lo tzarech kra. I don't need a pasuk to tell me the order of precedence. And of course I have to give to a ger toshav before I sell it to a nachri. Svarahu. It's a very logical deduction that I can make because I'm mitzuva lachyoso to the ger toshav and I'm not mitzuva lachyoso to the nachri. So therefore, Rav Yehuda says, I don't need to have a pasuk telling me this prioritization. I would know it on my own. And therefore, when the word O is there, it's coming to separate out the two halves of the psukim. First half is only matana to a ger toshav. The second half is only selling it to a nachri. A different way of darshaning it than Rav Meir. Now the Gemara says, Bishlam Rav Meir, everything works out fine according to Rav Meir, according to Rabbi Yavo, that says that whenever you have the word lo socha, lo soklu, any way form, it means in Isra Hanoa, so it works out very well if you follow Rav Meir's opinion. Yomar, echod ger v'yechod nachri, he says technically you're allowed to go and give it or sell it to both of them, to the ger toshav or to the nachri, beim mechir b'nesina. Now, why does it work out well according to Rav Meir? I need a pasuk to specifically tell me that I'm allowed to get hanor from this nevela. I can either give it or sell it to the ger toshav or to the nachri. So now I understand. When the Torah tells me don't go and eat it, it means not just eating, it means an itzer achila hanor. And that's why I need a pasuk to tell me I can give it or sell it. Ela Rav Yehuda, but according to Rav Yehuda, he says the Omar Lidvorim Kichsovan Hudyosa, that you need specifically a pasuk over here telling me that I must give it to the Ger Toshav, or if I want to, I could sell it to the Akum. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar Lidvorim Kichsovan Hudyosa, ha kol isurim shebetorah mino le dasur bana. So you can't learn out here that there's an isur a hanah from it. If Rabbi Yehuda is right, so then how does Rabbi Yavo's understanding, whenever it says lo sochlu, it means that you're not allowed to eat it, and you're not allowed to get hanah from it, it doesn't flow from the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rashi says, in this situation, el Rabbi Yavo, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, minole dilma hai prat de nevela, that which it tells us that in regards to nevela, you must give it as a matana to the ger toshav, lav l'misharia b'hanah also. It's not coming to teach me that there's a permissibility over here of hanah. Dilo itzterich, you need it, el lachachmir, to teach me a chumri here, v'lo ma dil nachri b'mechira. I'm not allowed to give it to the nachri. I must give it to the ger toshav. If I'm going to give it to a nachri, I must sell it to the nachri. V'lo ger b'nesina, and to the ger toshav, I must give it in nesina. Dilo kasve, if it hadn't written this, havamina kol hanos mutoros ba, I would have said that anything is permissible. So this is just telling me a specific prat, but it doesn't tell me that it's asur b'hanah. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, where do we know Rabbi Yavo's principle? Somebody says, not a problem. Nafkale, we learn it out, that Rabbi Yavo tells me that whenever it says that lo sochal, lo sochlu, or something like that, it means that there's not only an isra achila, there's an isra anah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you learn it out, nafkale, milakel of tashlichun oso. The pasuk tells us that you have to go, in Mishpatim, it tells us the same din about what do you do with the nevela? It says, "Lakelev tashlichun oso." You're allowed to go give it to your dog. Now, your dog is your dog. You're getting hanah from it. So here, prat hakosov, the Torah tells me that this is a situation where nevela is not usur in anything but achila. It's not usur in hanah. Lakelev tashlichun oso. Now we turn to Chof Beis Amud Aleph on the word "lakelev tashlichun oso." Also, atomashl lakelev. This and only this type of an isur achila is given to a dog, and it's mutabanah. However, v'yatamashl lakelev kol isurin shibatorah. But all the other isurin in the Torah, they are usur not only in eating, but they're usur in hanah. And therefore, that's how, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Avol would learn out that whenever it says lo socha, lo sochlo, or any form like that, it means not only an isser achila, it means also an isser hanah. Now, what does Rabbi Meir do with this? Rabbi Meir, what does he need to pass it? Lakelet tashchun oso. The word oso seems to be extra according to Rabbi Meir. He already learned out Rabbi Avol's din from the fact that you have to give Nesina or Mechira. That tells me there's a general Isra Noah, which is bypassed over here because the Torah was par at it. So what does he need Lakelet Tashchun Oso in Mishpatim for? For a mayor, Oso. Oso Atomashlich Lakelet. This you can give to the dog, this Nevela, the Atomashlich Lakelet Chulin Shinishchatu Be'Azorah. That you need to tell me that if you shechted chulin, which you're not allowed to do in the Azara, so you were over shechted chulin in the Azara, there's an Isser involved in that, that type of meat is not allowed to be given to the dog. That you're not allowed to get any hanor from. That's what he needs that extra pasuk for, like kelev tashikun oso. No, where does Rav Yehuda learn this din? The chulin shenishchat the Azara is also not allowed to be getting hanor from. The Idach, Rav Yehuda, he says, Chulin Shinishcha to be Azara, Lav Deraisi. He says, technically, on a Deraisi level, you are allowed to give it to your dog. There is no Isser in this situation. Min HaTorah, you are allowed to get enough from it. That's why I don't need this pasuk, Lakelet Tashikun Oso, to tell me that there's an Isser Deraisi here. In fact, there is no Isser Deraisi over here. It was a valid Shechita, and therefore, why you shouldn't have done this, Shechita is not allowed to be done with chulin in the Azara, but the bottom line is there is no Issa Darais here, and that's why I don't need a pasuk to tell me that there's an Issa Anor. Oh, midrabanan, you're not allowed to give it to your dog. That's something else. As Rashi points out, the Asir Banor, Lav Daraisa, he brings this down from the second parak in Kiddushin. If the Gubat, there's this machlokus there. Is this an Issa Daraisa, chulin shenishchat to Azara, or not an Issa Daraisa on getting Hanor from it? This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shir.